The text thread was still open on the kitchen counter, blue and gray bubbles stacked like a ledger. His last message said he would be late again. He added a smile for the baby he now visited on the other side of town. The house was quiet. A clock ticked over the sink. She wiped the counter twice, then set the phone down and folded a dish towel. Rules were simple on paper. Come home on time. End the affair. Pick a family and stay. He had agreed in words and broken them in days. She kept a notebook by the stove and wrote what mattered for tomorrow. Pay the bill. Call the school. Breathe. She did not want a divorce. She wanted a husband who kept his word. Outside, a car door closed and an engine faded. Inside, the air felt thin. The next choice would change every life in the house. Chapter 1. The break that didn't end. The garage door rattled and stopped. He took a long breath before stepping into the kitchen. Shoes stayed on. Keys hit the bowl and bounced once. She stood by the counter with the phone beside a folded towel. The thread still showed blue and gray bubbles from earlier. He saw his own promise on the screen. Home by 7. He walked in near 9. Where were you? She asked. Over there, he said. Voice low. Eyes on the sink. Say her name. He swallowed. I was with her. I saw the baby. The word hung in the room and did not move. A clock ticked near the window. The fridge hummed and clicked off. How often? She asked. Every week, he said. Some weeks more. I help with nights. I bring what they need. What we need lives here, she said. This house is your first home. He nodded but looked past her. A school flyer sat under a magnet on the fridge. The date had a circle in pen. Back to school night. He did not step closer. I told you the rules, she said. End the affair. Come home on time. Be a father here. I am a father there too, he said. A child did not ask for this. I will not vanish on him. You already vanish on us. He rubbed his face and leaned on the island. I will be there for both homes. I can do that. You will not split a marriage in half and call it whole, she said. End it or leave. He stared at the counter and said nothing. She waited. Air felt light and thin. Her hands pressed flat on the stone to keep from shaking. She kept her word steady. I do not want a divorce, she said. I want a husband who keeps vows. Choose us. He shifted his weight. I love my child, he said. I will not be a stranger to him. You love him. Love does not require nights there, she said. Send support. Visit on a schedule we set together. End the affair. He opened his mouth and closed it. He picked up the phone and set it down again. She is alone most nights, he said. The baby wakes a lot. So do our kids when this explodes at school, she said. They hear whispers. They see you gone. They see me carry the house on no sleep. He looked at the floor. I will make this right, he said. When? She asked. Soon. Give me a date. Silence. She let it sit. She would not fill the gap for him. He checked the time and winced. What did you tell her about tonight? She asked. That I'd come back if the baby woke again, he said. She nodded once. Hear my boundary, she said, slow and clear. End the affair or leave this house. He breathed in. I hear you. Do you agree? He hesitated. I want to try to be there for both. She did not raise her voice. There is no both. He reached for her hand. She stepped back. The move felt small, but it drew a line she needed. He let his hand drop. I will sleep on the couch, he said. You will sleep where you live, she said. If you live here, you sleep here as a husband, not as a guest. If you live there, go now. He lifted the keys and held them in a loose grip. Metal clicked against his ring. He looked at the hallway toward the kids' rooms. He looked at the door back to the garage. Neither path eased his face. I am not choosing tonight, he said. You already chose, she said. You chose every time you stayed late. He set the keys down again. He took off his shoes and lined them up by the mat. He walked past her and poured water into a glass. The quiet ring of the rim on stone made both of them look up. She turned the phone over. The screen went black. We set a follow-up in the morning, she said. Before work. 7:30. Fine, he said. You will give a plan with times and days, she said. You will tell me how you end it. You will block her number during family hours. He nodded. I will try. Not try, she said. Do it. He lifted the glass and took a long drink. His throat worked under the kitchen light. He set the glass down and wiped the rim with his thumb. You are calm, he said. I am tired, she said. I am tired from carrying a home through a storm you made. His eyes flashed. We both made choices, he said. No, she said. You made a child with a woman at work. You kept the lie until a birth certificate forced truth. I did not choose any part of this. He looked away. Words failed him for a full count of 10. Do the kids know? He asked. They know you miss bedtime, she said. They ask why you smell like a house that is not ours. He winced. I held the baby, he said softer now. He has my eyes. She felt heat at the base of her neck. Do not bring his face in here to excuse nights away. I am not excusing. I am saying he is mine, he said. And this family is yours, she said. So act like it. He opened the back door and stepped onto the small porch. Night air slid in and raised goose flesh on her arms. He stood there with his hands on the rail and looked at the yard, as if grass could answer for him. Porch light painted a narrow oval on the steps. She packed lunches at the counter. Bread, fruit, two small notes. She wrote simple lines her kids could hold in their pockets. You are brave. You are loved. She sealed the bags and set them in the fridge. He came back in and closed the door slow. I will sleep in the guest room, he said. You hear me, she said. No guest living. He rubbed the back of his neck. I need one night to think. You had months, she said. Chapter 2 stamped and filed. A clerk slid a stack across the counter and pointed to the lines. Ink felt heavy in his hand. He signed where arrows told him to sign. A stamp came down with a flat smack. The room smelled like toner and floor wax. She stood a few feet away with a fixed jaw. A wall clock read 9:21. No one spoke for a long half minute. Paper moved. A receipt printed. The clerk pushed two copies into a manila envelope and wrote a case number on the tab. Outside, air carried car noise and the sweet bite of a food cart. He held the envelope like a thin shield. She kept both hands in her coat. They walked to the curb and stopped beside a cracked meter. So it is done, he said. It is recorded, she said. He watched a city bus pull away. Payments will start Friday, he said. The order says 1st and 15th. She nodded once. Send proof each time, she said. No loose word on money. He looked down. I will forward the log. A gust pushed grit across the sidewalk. She blinked it out and faced him. I go now, she said. Work starts in 20. He reached for her arm and stopped short. I will make this work, he said. Show it, she said. She turned and walked toward the parking lot without looking back. He stood there with the envelope and watched her cross between faded lines. At home that night, she pulled a binder from a high shelf. Clear sleeves slid into place. She labeled a set by month. A shoebox held past mail. She dated each letter in pencil and filed an order. A thin pen scratched page tops with calm numbers. Day by day. Dollar by dollar. He sat at the table and set up a transfer with a service which marked dates. A blue checkmark appeared. He took a screenshot and sent it. Her phone buzzed on the counter. She saved the image inside a folder named for the case number and closed the screen. A group thread at work lit up 2 days later. Someone had seen a stroller near the loading dock. A baby hat in bright stripes. A tiny hand. Photos passed from pocket to pocket with little messages. So cute. Looks like him. Bubbles rose and popped. She watched from her chair and kept her face still. She muted the thread and opened a blank email to clear her head. The cursor blinked without judgment. Lunch brought new noise. Two co-workers whispered by the fridge. A third tried to change the subject and failed. Her own sandwich sat untouched until break ended. She wrapped it back up and slipped it into her bag. The workday moved as if someone had loaded extra weight on each task. At home, she drew a big wall calendar from a drawer. She chose four highlighters and set a color for each person. Blue for him. Green for her. Yellow for each child in the house. Red for appointments tied to the order. She blocked family hours from 6 to 8 on weeknights. She wrote no calls across those lines in firm letters. He arrived on time twice in a row. He ate dinner without looking at his phone. He read one chapter at bedtime. The third night, a message came through with a plea for help. He stared at the screen until the backlight dimmed. He did not move. She watched him from the sink. The noise of plates underwater filled the gap where words might live. He stayed in the chair. The message went silent. Two more pings came 5 minutes apart. He turned the phone face down and folded his hands. She breathed out and rinsed the last plate slow. Days rolled into late November. Family asked who would host. Her mother wanted the whole crew. His sister wanted a quiet meal at her place. He stood at the counter with a small pad and sketched a plan he believed would offend no one. It did. Afternoon with my family, he said. Evening drop in at hers. No sleepover. 20 minutes. I want to see the baby eat sweet potato. No, she said. No holiday drop-ins there. Bring a tray to her porch. Wave. Come home. Or skip it. He stared at the floor and drummed a finger on the pad. I need to put eyes on him on days like this. You need to honor this house on days like this, she said. They settled on a middle line which hurt both sides. Afternoon at her mother's. No drive after dark. He could leave a tray in the late morning with a note. He wrote a simple line for that card and kept it clean. He used no pet names. He signed with first and last, as if writing to a bank. He drove across town at 9 and dropped the food at a front step. No one opened the door. He stood for a few breaths and left. At her mother's place, cousins lined up for turkey. Kids played on a rug with blocks. Her mother watched her face with trained eyes and pressed a plate into her hands. Eat, she said. Drink water. She chewed and forced each bite to land in a steady rhythm. Across the room, a news anchor talked over a parade. A gold balloon drifted on a cable above a crowd. She lost track of time watching fabric ripple in cold wind. In December, a photo slid into the group thread at work. A tiny Santa hat. A smiling mouth with milk on the lip. She turned the phone face down and stood to refill her mug. By the sink, a co-worker reached out and touched her sleeve. The hand stayed there a beat, warm and real. No words followed. The hand fell away, and the person left the room without looking back. She held on to that touch for the rest of the day. She bought a new planner during lunch. A simple cover. Thick paper which did not bleed through. She mapped meal plans for 4 weeks. She listed bills with due dates. She blocked 1 hour each Sunday for quiet. No chores in that slot. No screens. She wrote "breathe" in the square for each week and underlined it. A small order inside a wide storm. Child support landed on the first workday each month. Screenshots came in as promised. She logged them without comment. He brought receipts for diapers and wipes and pediatric visits. She filed those too. The binder grew round at the rings. Each page gave a sense of grip. A teacher pulled her aside after pickup one afternoon. He seemed tired, the teacher said about their son. New routines can do that. Keep bedtime steady. We will, she said. At home, she set a timer for reading each night. 20 minutes on the couch. Phone stayed in a bowl by the door during those minutes. A small rule which felt like a stitch pulled tight. Mid-December, a rumor ran through the floor at work. Name day this weekend, someone said. Blessing with family. A photo appeared Monday morning. A candle on a little table. A baby in a white suit. A man stood behind the chair and looked proud. The frame did not show the father. Comments filled the thread until a manager sent a quick note to keep threads clean. The photo stayed in phones, though. Private eyes kept private copies. She drove home in silence and turned off the radio halfway through the first song. At a red light, she checked her face in the mirror and took one long breath. Forward again, slow on the gas, eyes on the road. At home, she hung her coat, fed the dog, and set water to boil. Routine soaked up noise like a towel. Chapter 3, Boundaries and Breaks. The counselor's office felt plain and safe. 2 chairs. 1 box of tissues. A clock on the wall read 3:05. She spoke first. I want my home steady. No split loyalties. He stared at his hands. I want to be a father to every child of mine. The counselor wrote on a pad. Ground rules, she said. No secret phones. No late visits during family hours. If one person feels unsafe or unheard, pause and reset. Add 1 clear boundary line you both repeat. She nodded. No overnights there, she said. If you sleep there once, take your things and go. He looked up. A long breath left his chest. I heard you. Say it back, the counselor said. He did. The words landed in the room and stayed there. They left with a printout and a second date. On the drive home, he held the wheel tight. She watched street signs pass and counted slow to 10, then started again. That night a friend called at 9. Warm voice. No prying. You ate, the friend asked. Yes. You drank water. Yes. I will call tomorrow, the friend said. Thank you. Every night that week, the call came. A small ring of care around a tired house. She sent the boundary in a message, so it lived in writing too. No overnights there. If you sleep there once, take your things and go. She hit send at 7:42 p.m., March 3rd, then placed the phone face down. He replied 1 minute later. I agree. For 5 days, dinner felt quiet but steady. He showed at 6:10. Phone stayed in the bowl. He washed dishes while she set lunches. He read at bedtime and kept it light. Relief moved through rooms in small waves. On day 6, a text pinged at 8:57. He stood by the counter and read it, his mouth folded. "What?" she asked. "Baby has a fever," he said. "Needs help." She pointed to the bowl with phones. "Family hours," she said. "You stay." He paced once and stopped. "She is alone tonight," he said. "No one else there." Her chest tightened. She moved to the fridge and touched the card with house rules. "No overnights there," she said. "We agreed." He tapped the counter with 2 fingers. "I will go, then I will come right back." She shook her head. "No." Gaslight tried the door. "You know I am a good man," he said. "This is care. You make it sound like sin." She did not flinch. "Care does not require a bed there," she said. "Drop supplies, then come home." He grabbed keys. "I will be fast." "Do not stay," she said. "Do not break the line." He left at 9:14. Tail lights washed red over the driveway and faded. She sat with her notebook and wrote the time. She made tea and did not drink it. She walked the hall and checked on sleeping kids. She returned to the table and stared at the door. Minutes slid into hours. At 11:21, she sent 1 line. "Are you on the way?" No answer. At 12:12, the screen lit. "Still here. Fever spiked. I will wait it out." She read the words twice. She did not reply. At 2:19, she texted again. "Come home." No reply. Dawn smudged the blinds. The lock turned at 6:28. He stepped in with a soft face and reached for words. She lifted a hand. "Say where you slept." He hesitated. "On a chair," he said. "Baby woke all night." "Say where you slept," she said again. His eyes fell. "On the couch." Her throat burned. "Pack your things," she said. The boundary was clear. He gripped the back of a chair. "I went to help a child. You know my heart." "Your heart broke a rule we set in a room where we begged for truth," she said. "Help does not live in that bed or on that couch." He set his bag on the floor. "I will shower, then work. We talk tonight." "No," she said. "Action now. Pack 2 bags. Clothes and basic stuff. Leave keys on the hook." He stared at her. "You would throw me out for showing up for my child." "I am throwing out a lie," she said. "You crossed a line in writing and in voice. This is the cost you accepted." He swallowed hard and nodded once. He walked down the hall slow. Drawers opened and closed. Zippers rasped in short bursts. By 7:10, 2 bags sat by the door. He placed keys on the hook. "I want to fix this," he said. "Fix first," she said. "Speak later." He lifted the bags and paused. "Where do I go?" "Not there," she said. "Find a couch with a friend. Book a short stay. Send the address for the pickup schedule." He left at 7:20. The door clicked. The house held its breath. She called her friend at 7:25. The voice on the line steadied her. "You held a hard line," the friend said. "I am proud of you." She set a short plan for the day. Work, a short walk, calls for help with after-school pickup. A second counseling slot, if they had one. Water. Food. Sleep. He texted at 9. "I am at a hotel near the highway. Room number follows. I will show at 6 for pickup. Alone." She replied with 1 word. "Okay." At lunch, the counselor's office called with a late opening at 5. She took it. She would go alone. A seat in a quiet room. A place to say the line again and hear it back. Evening came slow. He arrived at 6 on time. He stood at the curb with empty hands. He hugged the kids and kept his eyes down. He did not ask to come in. She watched from the porch. The street felt narrow. He loaded backpacks and closed the doors. He looked up once. "Will you meet me after lights out?" he asked. 10 minutes. Front steps. She thought for a beat. 10 minutes, she said. Front steps. He drove away. Tail lights flared and turned the corner. She sat on the top step and waited for night. The clock in the hall ticked out each minute. The air cooled. A single star pushed through thin cloud. He would return at 8. He would bring words. She would bring the line. The question waited with her. Would he choose the home he built, or chase a heat he refused to release? Chapter 4. Work Rules, Life Rules. The notice went out at 9 sharp. Mandatory meeting. Conference Room B. Policy on Workplace Relationships. She read the lines twice. He read them once and kept his face blank. By 10, the room was full. Chairs scraped. A manager cleared her throat and began. "This is not a surprise," the manager said. "We expect transparency. You must disclose. No power gaps. No private meetings off-site during work hours. No favoritism. Sign the acknowledgement today." Pens clicked. Pages rustled. Someone coughed into a sleeve. The manager looked up. Questions. Silence held for a count of five. Then one voice asked about holidays. Another asked about shared projects. Clear answers came back. Keep records. Avoid shared shifts where it causes conflict. If in doubt, ask. After, HR asked her to stay a minute. The room emptied. She sat. The door closed with a soft seal. "We are aware of chatter," the HR lead said. "I will not ask you to confirm anything. I will remind you of two things. Your job is safe when you follow policy. If you feel harassed, you tell me. We write it down. We act." She nodded. "I have a home to protect," she said. "Protect your name first," the lead said. "Name is what your work stands on." They slid a form across the table. She signed. The lead placed the paper in a folder and said she could go. In the break room at noon, laughter rode low under the hum of the fridge. Two people stood by the microwave. One tilted a phone and smirked. "Baby looks like his dad," the person said. The second person shot a glance her way and tried a soft pivot. "Anyone need the pepper?" they asked. She picked up her tea and walked out. No comment. No feed. Later, at the copy machine, a whisper trailed her. "She shows up like nothing happened," a voice said to no one. Paper slid out of the tray in neat stacks. She counted to 10 and lifted the fresh pile. Afternoon passed in a tight rhythm. Inbox. Task. Send. She kept her chair straight and her back tall. If a message looked messy, she cleaned it and sent it out. Small control in a day that pulled at edges. At 5:20, the parking lot held the last heat of the sun. She reached her car and saw a figure already there. The woman leaned against the passenger door and crossed her arms. No jacket. Hair pulled back. Tired eyes. A near miss sat between them. A line she would not cross. "I need 1 minute," the woman said. "You have one," she said. "Then I go." "He said you threw him out," the woman said. "He broke a line and left," she said. "He knows why. He is a good father to my son," the woman said. "He is a father," she said. "Be clear on the rest." A pair of co-workers crossed the lot and slowed. Neither spoke. Both watched with wide eyes and kept moving. The woman's voice thinned. "He told me he will move in full time," she said. "Next week." She felt the ground tilt and chose stillness. "If he chooses that house, he chooses it on paper too," she said. "That is not your concern. That is mine and his." The woman took a step closer. "You make me the villain at work," she said. "People look at me like I stole a life. People choose their own looks," she said. "My name stays clean here. That is my job. Yours is your own." A car door somewhere slammed and echoed between rows. "I do not want to fight," the woman said. "Then do not start one," she said. "We do not talk here again. All contact goes through him, and only about the child. Keep my name out of your mouth at work." "I will do the same." The woman stared at the ground and nodded once. "Fine. Good," she said. "I am going home." She unlocked the door and got in. Hands on the wheel. Breath steady. She did not look back as she pulled out. The rear view caught a small shape in the distance that could have been a person or just a shadow at the edge of a light pole. She let it go. On the drive, she spoke the boundary out loud so it sat in the air. No more parking lot talks. No more jokes in rooms I feed. If they choose noise, I choose work. At the house, the kids needed help with a worksheet and a glue stick. She knelt at the table and checked answers. He arrived on time. He hung his coat and asked how the day went. HR rolled out the policy, she said. I signed. I keep records now. He looked down. She texted me, he said. Said you spoke. I set a line at my car, she said. No contact with me at work. All through you. Only about the child. He nodded. That is fair. Tell her again, she said. Tell her it protects all three of our names. He poured water and drank. You want to file a report, he asked. About gossip. About her waiting in the lot. She thought for a long beat. Not yet, she said. I keep notes. If it happens again, I write it down at HR. He leaned on the counter. I will text her now. No, she said. You do it in the morning. In writing. Clean. Short. No warmth. Then you send me a copy. No spin. A record. He picked up his phone and set it down. "Morning," he said. Night came quiet. She wrote the day in a small log. Meeting at 10. Form signed. Break room whisper. Parking lot talk. Boundary set. She read the lines once and closed the book. Her name felt steady for the first time in weeks. At 9:50, a message buzzed. Unknown number. No greeting. One line. "You think you can make me hide?" She stared at it and placed the phone on the table. She took a photo of the screen. She wrote the time at the top of a page and attached the printout with tape. She poured water and drank slow. Then she opened a new message to HR that had a blank subject line. She typed four words and stopped. "Need to report contact." Her finger hovered over send. Chapter 5, The Body Keeps Score. She woke before the alarm with her heart running. The room looked ordinary. Her chest did not agree. She sat up and counted four in, four hold, four out. Breath slowed a little. The clock read 5:12. By 8:30 she sat on paper at the clinic. Blood pressure cuffs squeezed and hissed. A nurse asked short questions and wrote neat numbers. The doctor came in with calm eyes and a pen. "I am not sleeping," she said. "I shake in the morning. I forget to eat." The doctor nodded. "We build a simple plan," he said. "Food on a schedule. Water often. A short walk each day. One person who checks on you at set times. You call if your mind goes dark. I can add a light medicine for sleep. We meet again next week." She agreed to the basics. She asked for the smallest dose. He printed a sheet with steps and a number to call day or night. She folded it and put it behind her license. On the drive home, she pulled into a grocery lot and typed a message. "Check-ins at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. If I do not answer, you call again. If I still do not answer, you come by. You have a key." Her friend replied at once. "Yes, I will bring food tonight." At the house, she made a clean page for the fridge. "Eat by 9. Eat by 1. Eat by 6. Under that, she wrote simple meals. Oats with fruit. Sandwich and soup. Rice, beans, and greens. She filled a pitcher and set it in front of the milk, so she would see it first. At lunch, she sat at the table and felt nothing like hunger. She ate anyway. Halfway through, her hand stopped shaking. She finished the bowl and marked the time on a pad. At 3:20 in the afternoon, panic pushed at her throat at work. She walked to the stairwell, put a hand on the cool rail, and breathed slow. Four in. Four hold. Four out. She called her friend from the landing. "Say one thing you see," her friend said. "Blue paint on the wall. Say one thing you hear. Air from the vent. Say one thing you can touch. The rail. Good. I call again at 9. She went back to her desk and finished the hour. Each task felt like a small stone set back in place. That evening her friend arrived with a cooler. Plastic tubs lined up inside. Soup. Stew. Cut fruit. Cooked rice. A note on each lid with clear words. Lunch. Add water. Sit while you eat. They made tea and stood in the kitchen. No talk about him. No talk about work. The friend asked three things only. Sleep plan. Food plan. Who to call. They wrote the names on an index card and stuck it next to the stove. At 9, the first formal check-in rang. "You ate dinner?" her friend asked. "Yes." "You drank water?" "Yes." "You laid out clothes for morning?" "Yes." "Good night." She slept 5 hours in pieces. It beat the 2 hours from the night before. Morning brought a tight chest again. She took the small pill the doctor had given for nights and set her timer for breakfast. By 9 she had eaten. By 1 she had eaten again. The timer became a metronome for the day. He came by at 6 for pickup and kept to the step. He asked how she felt. "Better with a plan," she said. "I can take more nights if you need rest," he said. "I need steady, not surprise," she said. "Text first. Keep the schedule." He nodded and left on time. She wrote on time, next to his name on the calendar, and drew a small square around it. A mark of proof, not hope. The next afternoon the doctor's office called about labs. "Nothing dangerous," the nurse said. "Eat steady. Sleep. Keep your follow-up." She stuck to the routine. She walked the block once after dinner. She sat on the couch with the kids for 20 minutes and read aloud. Phone stayed in the bowl. After lights out, she stacked the mail and did not open it. That could wait for Saturday at 10. On day 5, the morning panic hit harder. She sat on the kitchen floor with her back to a cabinet and counted. Four in. Four hold. Four out. She called her friend. "Open the door." "I am coming," her friend said. "I am okay," she said. "Just stay on the line." I will stay until your breath is slow, the friend said. They stayed on the call for 12 minutes. When her voice steadied, they set the next check for 9 at night. She drew a short meal map for the week on a card. Monday soup. Tuesday rice and beans. Wednesday eggs and toast. Thursday pasta and greens. Friday leftovers. She stuck it above the sink where she could see it while water ran. The counselor squeezed her in for a late slot on Thursday. We keep the safety plan simple, the counselor said. Daily check-ins, food on time, sleep routine, crisis number in your pocket. If you feel unsafe, you call. You do not carry this alone. I do not want to leave my home, she said. I want my home to feel like a home again. We add one sentence for moments of crush, the counselor said. Say it out loud. I am here. I am safe. I will eat. I will call. She repeated the line. The counselor nodded. Good. Put it by your bed. That night she copied the sentence in large letters and taped it to the nightstand. The house felt quiet but less hostile. Objects had jobs now. The fridge held water. The cards held rules. The phone held a friend at 9. By the weekend, her hands shook less in the morning. She still woke early. She still felt a weight behind her ribs. The plan held her up like two hands under her shoulders. Sunday evening he dropped the kids and stood on the porch. I can take them next Saturday morning too, he said. You rest. Text on Thursday to confirm, she said. No surprises. He agreed and left. The porch light lit the step after the door shut. She turned it off and leaned her forehead to the wood for one long breath. She set the timer for dinner. She ate half, then finished the rest. She washed the bowl and wiped the counter. She put a glass of water by the bed. 9 p.m. rang. You ate? Her friend asked. Yes. You set water by the bed? Yes. You know the line if your mind goes dark. I call at once, she said. Good. I call in the morning. She hung up and turned off the lamp. The sentence on the card caught a bit of street glow. I am here. I am safe. I will eat. I will call. She closed her eyes and listened to the house breathe. The plan was small. The days were long. The question remained. Could these hands hold when hope thinned again? Chapter 6, Pressure of Money and Time. The bank app flashed red at 7:14 a.m. A charge she did not know pulled the balance low. Electric was due Friday. Water the week after. Her stomach went tight and hot. By noon they sat at a branch with a clerk between them. Separate accounts today, she said. Auto pay from mine. Your transfers only through the log. The clerk typed in silence and slid forms across the desk. Pens moved. Old lines cut. New lines set. Outside, he tried a soft tone. I can float cash if you need it. No shared money for outside our home, she said. Boundary. Say it back. He looked at the sidewalk. No shared money for outside your home. Good, she said. Now keep it. She called the electric company from the car. I need a plan, she said. The voice on the line walked her through dates. She wrote them down. She paid the first piece and closed her eyes until the breath came easy. At work, she set a tight list on one small card. 2 calls. 1 walk. Laundry. Pay water Friday before noon. She crossed off each line with a thin stroke. Small wins stacked like coins in a jar. Wednesday he missed pickup. 3:20 turned to 3:30. The teacher guided their son back inside and called the front office. She pulled in at 3:38 with her badge still clipped to her coat. The counselor waited by the door with a neutral face. He was on the line, the counselor said. We cannot release to a voice. We need the person or a form on file. He had today, she said. It was on the calendar. The counselor nodded. We can add a backup plan. Late once, and the child waits here. Late twice and pickup shifts to the office only. She looked at her son's face and then at the clock. Do the form now, she said. Office only after 1 late. The counselor printed the paper. She signed and dated it. The pen felt heavy. Her hand shook once and stopped. At 5, he showed with a sorry smile and a story about traffic. She stood on the step with her jaw set. Late once shifts you to office pickup, she said. In writing. Say it back. He swallowed. Late once shifts me to office pickup. Next time, you lose the night, she said. He nodded and tried to hug their son. The boy turned his shoulder and walked inside. The door clicked. He stood there with his hands open and no place to put them. Thursday brought a letter with a bold line. Past due. She put it under a magnet and set an alarm for 9 the next morning. When the timer rang, she paid the base and logged the number. She drank water and stood at the sink until the heat in her neck cooled. He sent a photo of cash and asked if it helped. She sent back three words. Use the portal. Reward and withdraw played out on the thread. He offered soft gifts. She held the rule. Saturday at soccer, a mother asked if she was free to help with a carpool next month. She said yes and felt her voice wobble. The mother tilted her head. You good? The mother asked. I am steady, she said. I keep lists. Call if you need a hand, the mother said. Eyes clear. No pity. We all carry stuff. She nodded. The words landed like a warm towel across a cold shoulder. Sunday night, she spread bills on the table. She set three piles. Pay now. Pay on the 10th. Call to set a plan. She took a photo of the layout for her own record and filed each paper in a sleeve. The binder rings creaked and closed. He texted at 8:20. Can we talk about weekends? She wants more time for the baby's sleep. Not during family hours, she wrote. You propose on Thursday by noon. No last-minute changes. If you miss a pickup, you lose the night. She copied the words into a card and taped it to the fridge. He replied with one word. Understood. Monday after school, the counselor asked for a short meeting. We saw the form, the counselor said. We will hold to it. You look tired. I follow a plan, she said. Food. Water. Sleep. Lists. The counselor held her eyes. If you want, we refer you to the parent support worker, the counselor said. You are not alone here. I will take the number, she said. She wrote it on the inside cover of her planner and closed the book. That night, he arrived on time. He helped with a math sheet and kept his phone in the bowl. He left at 8:10. 10 minutes later, her cell lit up with a new number and a message with three words that were not kind. She took a screenshot, printed it, and taped it to the log. Under the page, she wrote one line. Who will hear this? Wait. The house fell quiet. The card on the fridge held four rules where anyone could see them. The binder held dates and amounts. The calendar held colors. Her voice held steady in rooms where the air still cut thin. She went to bed with a glass of water and the sentence by the lamp. I am here. I am safe. I will eat. I will call. Morning would bring work, pickups, and a call she did not know yet. The question hung in the dark like a small light far off. Who would notice the strain behind her steady voice? And would they ask the right thing before it was too late? Chapter 7, After the Call. At 7:04 a.m., her friend called. No answer. A text followed. No reply. At 9 a.m., the second check rang. Silence again. At 9:20, the friend used the key, called for her by name, and dialed for help. Paramedics moved through the small room with steady hands. Neighbors stood on porches and did not speak. At 9:47, the room went quiet. There was nothing more to do. He got the news at 10:19. He drove fast, parked crooked, and walked toward the tape. An officer met him at the steps and kept his voice low. Words landed and did not bounce. He sat on the bottom stair with his elbows on his knees and stared at the yard. By noon, the friend circle had a list. Meals. Rides. School notes. A clean outfit for each child set out the night before. A plan for bedtime. Two people on call for hard hours. The school counselor would meet the kids at 10 a.m. the next day. The binder stayed on the counter. The calendar stayed on the wall. The card stayed on the fridge. Routines would hold what love could not hold up alone. He called the counselor and the pastor. They came in the afternoon and sat at the table. The counselor spoke first. Care for the living, she said. Keep food and water on schedule. Keep nights quiet. Tell the children the truth in short lines. Answer what they ask. Do not add more. The pastor folded his hands. We will sit with you, he said. No gossip. No blame theater. We hold the home steady. He walked to the drawer and lifted the second phone. He turned it off and set it in a box with the signed plan. I should have chosen, he said. I will choose now. The pastor looked at him. Say the line. End the affair or leave this house, he said. He closed his eyes. I end it. The friend stood and spoke to the room. No parking lot talks, she said. No photos passed in rooms she worked in. If you see a thread, you shut it down. If you need to speak, you speak to the counselor or the pastor. Keep her name clean. HR logged the report about contact the next morning. A manager reminded the floor about policy. Screens stayed dark in the break room. Phones stayed in pockets. People worked. 2 days later, a small service gathered in a quiet room. No flowers with loud colors. No long speeches. The pastor read a psalm. The counselor spoke to the kids at the front row in plain words. You will feel many things, she said. You can say them. You can ask for help. Grown-ups will keep your days steady. He stood and faced the room. I broke lines, he said. I will keep them now. He looked at the kids. I will be here at 6. I will be here at 8. I will be here in the morning. Proof, not promises. After, in the kitchen at home, the friend taped one more card beside the others. The ink was dark and clear. When the air turns thin, call. You are not alone. She underlined the last four words and pressed the tape flat. He tucked the kids in and sat on the floor by the door. The house was the same shape and a different place. He took off his ring and held it in his palm for a long minute, then set it on the nightstand and left it there. In the front room, he opened the box with the second phone and the signed plan. He read the lines again and did what he should have done on the first night. He ended the affair in writing, short and clean, with a copy for the file and a copy for HR. He closed the box and put it on a high shelf. He poured a glass of water and set it by the sink. He looked at the card on the fridge and said the words out loud to the empty room. When the air turns thin, call. You are not alone. He stood there and let the line fill the house she left behind. Then he turned off the light and walked down the hall to sit with his children while they slept.